It has left hundreds of thousands of US government workers without pay and has led to the cancellation of thousands of flights across the United States. But overnight, a deal was done aimed at ending the US government shutdown, which has gone on now for 40 days. The breakthrough came when Democrats sided with Republicans to reach the agreement. Our Washington correspondent Sean Whelan has been telling me more about how the deal came to pass.
It came about basically because a group of center-ground Democrats essentially broke ranks with the rest of the party and said, we can't go on like this. This thing has to come to an end sooner or later. We think that there's been enough concessions wrung out of the negotiations that have been going on behind the scenes over the past couple of weeks. We don't think we're going to get any more out of it now, and we think we should just call a halt to this. So this group of eight Democrats voted with almost all of the Republicans. There's one Republican senator who's consistently voted against it on the grounds that it racks up too much debt, this big finance bill. But that gave them the 60 votes that they need to clear the what they call the filibuster in the Senate over here. It's essentially a qualified majority vote. You have to get 60 out of the 100 seats in the Senate voting in favour of a measure like this to get it through. So they reached that magic number during the nighttime here in the United States. So now they can move forward with this particular set of proposals, compromise proposals. But it doesn't mean they're out of the woods yet. There are still a number of procedural hurdles to be cleared.
This is the longest shutdown on record in the United States. Tell us about the impact that it has had on Americans and on people like you living in America. I guess with Thanksgiving and Christmas around the corner, on workers, and also on the political impact for Donald Trump and the Republicans.
Well, we've seen the political impact last week in elections that were held at state and local level across the United States. A lot of the attention was grabbed by Mr. Mamdani up in New York and his election win there. But there were far bigger wins, both in percentage terms and in terms of raw politics around the country. A pretty substantial swing in favor of the Democratic Party and away from the Republican Party. And that has got the Republicans quite rattled, given the extent of this swing to the Democratic Party. A lot of nervousness, certainly among the members of the lower house, and even a certain reticence I detect by President Trump to really get stuck into this measure and to perhaps to seek some kind of a resolution to it now, because people have been heartily sickened by what they've seen in terms of the government shutdown, particularly the cutting off of food aid to the poorest Americans, which started about a week ago. Some 42 million American people reliant on subsidies for their basic foodstuffs. And that has angered and enraged a lot of people. The other thing that has been building up, and we pointed this one out right at the very start of this shutdown because of what had happened in previous shutdowns, and you mentioned it there, the air traffic controllers, the impact it has on air travel, particularly coming up to Thanksgiving, which is, I think, 17 days' time. And that's far bigger a deal over here than Christmas is. This Thanksgiving really is the main American holiday. It's the time of year when the most people will travel back to their homeland, their home state, their hometown, and meet up with friends and family. And so anything that would interfere with that would cause enormous ill feeling towards whoever the public decided to blame it on. And so far, the polling has indicated that they are blaming the Republicans and the president more than the Democrats. But that could, of course, change quite easily. So that's the risk that the Democrats are running there.
Separately, Sean, a story that crosses the Atlantic, and that is the resignation of two of the BBC's senior leaders, the Director General Tim Davie and the Chief Executive of News, Deborah Turness, both of whom quit after it was revealed that the BBC had misleadingly edited a speech by Donald Trump to make it appear that he had directly called for violence on January 6th, 2021. What has the reaction been to those resignations by the Trump administration?
There hasn't been that much reaction in the general political world here in Washington, D.C. This is a story that has been pretty obscure, I have to say, here in the United States. It's blown up in Britain over the last couple of days, but over here it's really made no impact. There's been some reaction from the White House. Caroline Levitt, the official spokesperson, saying people in Britain should just watch GB News and give up on the BBC, biased, etc., etc., having a crack at it. President Trump saying similar sort of things, you know, fake news, they doctored what I said, it wasn't really what I meant, etc., etc., having a go at them. But it seems quite odd, really. Why would he be bothered about a foreign television station that doesn't have that many viewers in the United States, and certainly for programs like Panorama that were transmitted, I think, a year ago? Why would he be coming back to it now? We know what he's done over here with a number of television stations, looking for money off them, suing them for defamation, getting settlements from owners at times when those owners needed permission from the federal government to do things like mergers or sales of their media operations. So they were essentially beholden to the president, and some cash payments sorted out everything. That doesn't really apply in the case of the BBC. He has no jurisdiction over them. And it's difficult to see why he might be interested in it. And there certainly hasn't been much indication in public, at least, that he was interested in this Panorama programme until the Daily Telegraph published that leaked internal report from the BBC itself.
And that was our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, speaking to us a short time ago. The time is 7:20.